Hey, this is Arlen, and thank you for checking out Instagram Engineering. Instagram is by far the most powerful networking tool in the world, and my goal with this Instagram Engineering program is to fix your terrible Instagram so that you can experience the world of abundance made possible when you are a man with an Instagram that actually engineers attraction of high-value people, opportunities, and even potentially romance. In this training, we will be building you, your personality, and your personal brand in the same way the most powerful people, brands, and even religions are structured. We'll go over how to write your origin story and your mission, how to craft a design language and language around your brand, how routines become pendulums, your identity as a leader, and how to polarize the enemy. There's plenty of worksheets to support the learning. And really what I want you to understand is that when you build a powerful Instagram, what you're really doing is building a brand. And if you want to stand out and be competitive in the world of business and even romance, you know, you have to really communicate a powerful story, vision, and mission as a leader. So without further ado, I bring you Neurobranding 2.0 of Instagram Engineering. Hey, it's Arlen. Welcome back to the Tribe Accelerator Week 3. And we are here in Neurobranding. This is really the start of the program. Not really. I mean, obviously, the first 2 weeks are absolutely essential. But now we're getting into like tactical, actionable stuff that, you know, you can really sink your teeth into this week and actually start making some, you know, social specific progress where, you know, really, I mean, really the whole, if you haven't noticed, like you bought a program to build your tribe, to build your brand, the foundations of that is having a high level of consciousness and having a mission, right? And so that's what the first several weeks are really in starting. And here in week three, we're really starting to actually pick up some material. So I hope that you're ready. I hope that you're not 2x speed listening to this on a walk. You want to really be dialed in here and soak this stuff in because, guys, I've studied this stuff for so long. I pack so much into these videos. And yes, they're long. I get it. But you have to understand that, like, I've studied this for so long and I've learned so much. So while these videos might seem long, they really aren't in the grand scheme of things. And I'm condensing so much thick fucking material in here. So just dial in, get your notes out, whatever, however you consume this. Maybe come back to this one a couple times because this one is very, very crucial. They really all are, to be honest. I'm not saying that. Like, it's honestly hard for me to not make these videos long because there just is so much stuff. So let's chit-chat. Let's dive into that material that I am hyping up. So first of all, we're just going to review because I think a review of 1.3 is important. If you remember in 1.3, we talked about the history of tribal dynamics. We talked about the importance of the metaverse, how to unfuck your brand, the fundamentals of power and influence, how to build a self-fulfilling profile, basically how to, you know, unscrew your profile and then create a profile that makes you look at yourself on your social media page and go, oh, I want to be like this person, you know, rather than that was me back in high school. Like, you look at your own page and you're like, ah, it's someone I want to actually become. And we're going to dive through this a little bit. So the critical importance of the metaverse, because a lot of this week, guys, is about building your brand online, I just want to really reemphasize the stress and stress the importance of building a profile of yourself online. You know, you can use it to get dates like you see on this left side here with girls that you've never met before who are probably more attractive than you could ever think to even figure out where they even hang out in real life. You can just find them on Instagram very easily. And I'll show you how to do that in later modules. But we have to build your profile first. So, you know, you can get yourself a date. You can use your profile to show how awesome you are, and then, again, tap into the infinite pool of dating options and reach out to literally anyone you want with a predictably high response rate. This has never been possible before. It's absolutely madness. You can obviously also use your brand that I'm helping you build here to build a business online, to build an influential brand within yourself that you can then scale to fucking infinity if you felt like it.
you can also, you know, take your existing business and move it online, really no matter what you do. And I obviously realize not everyone here wants to build an online business, but it just shows the power of the metaverse. And you can also make friends with people from all around the world, right? And you've seen what I've done. You know, a vast majority of my friends that I hang out with that you guys see in my videos, I met online. And it used to be weird to meet people online. Now it's almost weirder to not meet people online. And as you'll see what I'm about to show you here, like when you know what you're doing with a brand, it just communicates so much about you that people can pick up and resonate with, and they immediately can build a deep relationship with you just through what you post. And it doesn't have to be a lot, as you'll see. And then we went over how, you know, Mr. Struggle just like doesn't get it and can't seem to buckle down and build a fucking brand and doesn't get it and he's just annoying about it. Whereas the Luck Engineer, you know, he sees the benefits of it. He's curious about building a brand. And because he's open-minded to this new way of the world, he takes the benefits and he takes what he wants. He leaves what he doesn't. And we're going to dive full on into that here. So again, I encourage you to bring an open mind to this and remember that this is an 80-20 activity. Like this whole week really is 80-20ing, building a brand. And this week, this one week that you spend on this will put you so much further ahead of other people on social media. It's not even funny. Okay, like guys, you don't understand how much I've obsessed over brand building and like power and influence and persuasion and what makes a human or an institution or a brand powerful. And we're going to bake that all into you. All right, so the goal this week, I thought it was really good to start off for you with a goal, is to simply have by the end of this week, 9 pieces of content for your wall, 3 pieces of content per day on your story, or at least a system so that you know for future you can do that. And then the wisdom to create artistic content in your own unique style that resonates with your purpose and the people that you want to attract. This is the goal for this week, okay? And if you don't get 9 photos at the end of this week, that's really totally okay. You don't even have to get 1, to be honest. But you're going to have if you don't get any pictures this week, it's pretty stupid because it's like the main assignment. But, you know, don't stress about like if maybe you have a busy week or whatever. Like you're going to learn a lot this week. You're going to digest a lot and you'll start getting the content, you know, over time. But, you know, obviously I have high expectations for you. So I want you to really make this a priority this week. And I hope I've proved to you how fucking important it is and useful it is. Honestly, like, here's the thing. Like, if you don't get the content this week, it's not really worth moving on to the later modules. So just get the content, okay? And the principles I'm about to share with you, they will apply to any platform in the digital world, but we'll be focusing on Instagram. Neurobranding is a code to creating gravity around literally anything. And our purpose this week is to create gravity around you. So I wanted to say this because while we'll be focusing on Instagram in this, you can apply this to YouTube. You can apply this to TikTok. You can apply this to any new social media that pops up. Like, honestly, Instagram could get taken down tomorrow. And what I'm about to teach you in this week is still going to be relevant. Probably, I mean, it's going to be relevant 10 years from now, to be honest. Like, I probably don't have to remake this program for the next, like, 10 years. Because everything I'm about to show you has been relevant 10 years ago. And I could have just used a different, like, platform. Like, whenever the first platform came out, all of this stuff would still apply. And also, you follow the action steps this week, you'll be able to connect with high-value men and women in droves like never before imagined. So listen up. Again, because we are 80-20ing this, thus aiming to get better results by doing less, you can also bet that what we're about to go over is going to be very different and seemingly even a little overkill. And in fact, the way that I'm about to advise you, it's the same way that I advise brands that I work with, like Hubi, or even brands that I build myself. And we're going to take the same elements that generate worldwide attraction and long-term devotion for major brands like Apple, Amazon, Off-White, and even Ethereum. Yes, Ethereum is a brand. Even we're going to talk about religions like Christianity, Judaism, and how those are really... We're going to take all of those elements that make a powerful thing and apply them to you in the metaverse and in real life. Because all a brand is something people strongly believe in. And after this week, you will have all the elements to your personal brand and personality so that people will strongly believe in you, okay? Because, and before we go over this, you know, here's what we're going to cover thing. Guys, everything I'm teaching you this week, while it applies in social media, it will also apply in real life. And I'll go through that as we go. But we're going to go over how to write your origin story and documenting your mission. We're going to go over creating a language and design language, how routines become pendulums, your identity as leader, and polarizing the enemy. So your origin story and mission. A strong origin story hooks people in, helps people empathize with you, feel deeply connected to you, and even inspired. And there's a reason that storytelling has not gone out of style, you know, for thousands of years, right? Because storytelling is, there's an art to it, right? If you've ever, think of the most charismatic people you know, they're all really good at storytelling. And then think even further of the most powerful institutions and religions and people. What is at the heart of all of them? Well, it's a story, okay? Today, I'm going to teach you how to tell a story. Right? It sounds very elementary, but if you master the art of storytelling, you become extremely fucking powerful. We already have the seeds, actually, to your personal origin story. You actually completed it in your seven layers of why already and dove deep into it with the trauma and the traumas that you've experienced in your life, if any, in illusion neutralization. And all we need to do is clean up that story and put it into a three-act format, and then you'll have your story. So the three-act narrative looks like this. Hook, act one, act two, climax, act three, and message. And we're going to break down all of that. And a mission gives people something powerful to believe in. And beliefs dictate all of our decisions, right? So if people believe in you, and if you tell them to do something, then they're likely to make that decision to actually do it. Like, if you invite people somewhere and they believe in you, they're likely to say, oh yeah, I believe in that person. I will go do that thing. I will hang out with them. And we already know your inner and outer mission, so you're good on that. We already solidified that into one sentence last week. If you haven't done last week or the week before, what the fuck are you doing? Go back and do that. But I know you're on top of this, so let's go on. Once we have your story and mission, it's then time to share it. Okay, so we'll talk about sharing it, but really that's for video three in this series is how to execute. We're really like building the fundamentals of you and your brand in this, and then video two is different, and video three in this series is really all about implementing into the larger context in actual life and social media, but we'll touch on it a little bit here. So before we break everything down about storytelling, I want to tell you a story about how I went from depressed and insecure and really no friends to building a following of hundreds of thousands of people, a worldwide network, and then how I proceeded to lose it all and then rebuild it stronger than ever before. So this is me. My name's Arlen. I grew up in a small town on Cape Cod called Falmouth. It was a pretty good upbringing. My mom and dad, they were you know, great parents to me, and I was a really happy kid. For the most part, you know, I played sports and it was a good time. It was a good upbringing. But around the time I hit high school, and you can kind of see in my eyes, I started to get really bad negative thinking patterns. And it felt like every single thought in my mind was becoming negative. It was a tough time. It was like 3 or 4 years where I had all these negative thought patterns and I didn't want to tell anybody. And I felt really alone. And then I discovered the power of personal development and, you know, courses like this and books and, you know, all self-development, mental reprogramming, positive psychology. And I was able to finally heal my own brain. And I was so inspired by like that period where, you know, I thought my life was going to be shitty forever. And then it just turned around that I decided to make a YouTube channel. And that YouTube channel grew pretty quickly, and you know, I, within a year or so of building it, I had grown 100,000 followers, and I was posting videos every single day, and it was a lot of work. I mean, I would go out, you know, I had a job, and I was also in school, and I would film my friends, and I would film what I was doing, and then I'd get home at like, you know, 9 o'clock or so, I'd edit to like 3 in the morning, and then I would post it, and I would do that like every day, and it grew this big following and it was a lot of fun. And my life got great. You know, I made so many friends. I had a crew, you know, we travel the world, and I even like started making some money. I was doing brand deals and I was selling t-shirts and sweatshirts. And then I went to Australia, and that's where I got a girlfriend and we became a travel couple. And, you know, I was like posting her on my channel and stuff, and all these videos are down now, by the way, but long story short, one day I woke up and she'd posted this picture on the right here with this guy who's got like 25 million followers. His name's like Cameron Dallas. And she posted this photo. It was a Getty Images paparazzi photo. All of our photos were gone. And I was like completely in love with this girl, and she had just deleted everything and posted with this dude. And I was humiliated. I mean, all my followers knew who she was because we were like this kind of travel couple. And I was just like fucking broken. And the worst part was, like, I still wanted her back. And so she'd like posted with this guy, seemingly dropped me off the face of the planet. And we were like kind of long distance at the time too. So that had also been tough, but I wanted her back. And this guy basically like had his way with her for a week or so. And then I guess, I don't know, happened, maybe dropped her. Maybe she, I don't know. But the worst part was that I took her back. And then I went back, I flew across the world back to Australia to, you know, live with her for a few months. And that was like the worst time in my life because no one respected me. You know, I wasn't making videos anymore. My followers thought I was a loser. My mom and dad were losing respect for me. And my friends didn't really want to talk to me anymore because they're like, dude, like this girl's treating you like shit. You guys have a toxic relationship. This is, what are you doing? You know? And I was broken. You know, I wasn't making money. I didn't have any friends. It was hard. It was the hardest time in my life, absolutely. And one day I was able to miraculously crawl out of it. You know, I looked in the mirror one day and I was like, what has happened to me? You know, I looked skinny. I looked hopeless and miserable. And I was like, I've got to turn this around. And so I finally ended it. And fueled from my faults, I'd built this company, Maxi. I moved to LA to my dream house. You know, this was like a, you know, couple years later. And I've just been focusing on expanding my brand and having fun in the process ever since. So that like that low point there really fueled me to grow and become the person I am today. And now I have time, money, and freedom. I can travel the world with my worldwide social circle. And I just plan to lead men like you watching this right now through this program and continue to completely dominate and conquer the rest of my 20s and beyond. And so that's my story, okay? That's my origin story. And I want you to notice there's a structure to it, okay? So there was a hook. There was an act one, which is where I really introduce you to who I am and kind of the initial stages of like my life and my initial problems and what then fueled my act two, which was like building this big YouTube channel. Then there was a climax in this like relationship thing that happened, and the being cheated on and then losing it all and feeling like I was at rock bottom. And then act three is really, you know, the comeback and, you know, being fueled fueled by that failure that I had been through and that pain that I'd been through to get to where I am today. And then leaving off with a message that, like, you know, my purpose has been fueled by this story and you guys kind of see it and you understand my mission a little bit better. So this is the three-act structure. I went to film school, by the way. So I've kind of mastered this art of storytelling and baked it into really every story that I ever tell. So I want you to, like, you might want to just download this. I'll put this as a download below. And you can, you know, hang this up on your wall because I want you to start practicing this with people that you talk to in your group. Practice with your accountability partner. Just any story. And we're going to use your origin story. And I'll tell you, you know, your origin story is really key because it allows people to really quickly connect with you and understand if they want to be friends with you or not. most likely they will. Because typically the origin story revolves around some kind of intense emotion, high stake or pain, right? That climactic moment. But this is really key, okay? So the hook, right? The hook usually starts like just before the climax, right? Or it could summarize kind of this whole big story arc, right? In one sentence, right? So I started off and I was like, this is the story of how I went from depressed and insecure to building a following and network around the world, how I then proceeded to lose it all and then rebuild it stronger than ever before. That's a hook, right? It's honestly not even the best hook, but it's good. It's good enough. It makes you kind of wonder, like, who am I and how did I get here, right? And then act one is just who, what, when, where, why. Like, where did this all start? Who are you? Where were you? Where were you born? Where are you from? What were you doing when you were a kid? You know, what were you doing at the start of this story? And why were you doing it? Act two is the main rising action, the conflicts between characters, the hero's journey, right? And then the climax is that point of highest drama or action, intense emotions and high stakes. So typically too, the climax is like that moment where, you know, it feels like everyone's lost hope, but then there's like something that kind of turns it all around and that like shoots you into act three, where the resolution hits, what happened after, how it all played out. And then typically the message is like, well, what's the point? What's the purpose? What do we learn here? So here's another powerful brand story that follows this. You know, you can think of Apple. And so this is the story. Here's the hook. Here's the story of a man who led the charge of building the largest computer company in the world. And in Act One, we see Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in 1976 started Apple Computers out of their garage. Okay, and then Steve Jobs started, you know, really leading this company, and he was a very intense person. He would command people to, you know, basically like do stuff that wasn't possible. He'd say like, hey, I need this done in 24 hours. And they're like, but Steve, like that's never been done ever. And he's like, I don't care, get it done. He was a real hard ass with his employees. And he was young too as he was driving this. And in 1985, he was actually removed from his own company. He was fired by Chris Scully. A more senior to him. And then he obviously returned and, you know, brought Apple to where it was. And he later passed, of course, you know, very sadly to cancer, but he really drove innovation in the world and brought Apple to the company that is today and inspired so many people, you know, including myself and really anyone who uses an Apple product. And so the message, you know, I think that Steve Jobs leaves is really to do things that others say can't be done and to push all limits. Okay. And let's look at Fight Club. Okay. So this is, I'm going to give you guys a little spoiler alert. That's why I didn't put climax, act three, and act, and then the message there. I don't want to tell you guys what happens at the end. Although previously in this program, I kind of already did. But if you haven't seen Fight Club and you're in this program, stop watching this and just go watch Fight Club and then come back and resume right here. Okay. We're going to continue. So it starts off with a hook.
People are always asking me if I know Tyler Durden.
3 minutes. This is it. Ground zero. Would you like to say a few words to mark the occasion?
With a gun barrel between your teeth, you speak only in vowels.
I can't think of anything.
For a second, I totally forget about Tyler's whole controlled demolition thing, and I wonder how clean that gun is.
It's getting exciting now.
That old saying, how you always hurt the one you love? Well, it works both ways. We have front row seats for this theater of mass destruction. The demolitions committee of Project Mayhem wrapped the foundation columns of a dozen buildings with blasting gelatin. In 2 minutes, primary charges will blow base charges and a few square blocks will be reduced to smoldering rubble. I know this because Tyler knows this.
2.5. Think of everything we've accomplished.
And suddenly, I realized that all of this, the gun, the bombs, the revolution, has got something to do with a girl named Marla Singer.
Tyler Durden has the gun in the narrator's mouth, and, you know, it's really dramatic. You're like, holy shit, like, I want to know how they got there, right? And then you rewind, and you find out that the narrator is this guy who hates his life, he hates his job, and he's also an insomniac. He, like, hates his life so much, he can't even sleep. And he hates himself and his life so much, it just keeps him up. He's just, something is like boiling inside of him. And then he meets this guy, Tyler, on an airplane, who seems to be the exact polar opposite of him. And Tyler kind of challenges him. And, you know, one time they get in a fight in a parking lot, essentially. And the narrator really likes this guy, Tyler, and they really like fighting. And then what they do is they create this thing called Fight Club. Okay. And They basically create this giant cult of like guys who hate their jobs and hate being like this soft kind of pussyfoot. Like, you know, they live in this like this comfy feministic society where like masculinity is toxic, and you know, they love just going to this basement basically and beating the shit out of each other and just being men. And it turns into this like really anti-establishment film, and they want to go after like, you know, corporations and banks and this the whole system and just tear it the fuck down. And what happens is toward the end, toward the climax, is the narrator finds out that that Brad Pitt, Tyler, is actually him. Okay, he was such an insomniac that like they're the same person. So the narrator was such an insomniac and so like fed up, he created this version of himself in Tyler, this hallucination that he wished he was, and he wishes he was this guy, you know. And there's the famous line, he's like, I look how you want to look.
I look like you want to look. I fuck like you want to fuck. I am smart, capable, and most importantly, I'm free in all the ways that you are not.
There's like this whole other chaos drama sort of climactic moment ensues where the narrator, we now know, was like beating the shit out of himself and chasing himself really around the city. And finally they get to this roof, and it's the girl that he's liked the whole time, and they watch as all the bombs detonate the banks and the companies. Okay, and so the message is kind of just like, fuck authority, fuck society, don't do shit you don't want to do, and live life on your own terms. You know, don't waste your life doing stuff you don't want to do. Just make sure that you immediately are playing a game that you want to win, right? Because if you're playing a game you don't like, even winning feels like a loss. That's really the message of this film. So here's a story of Virgil Abloh, okay? So this is the story of a man who is from Indiana and became the world's most prolific cultural designer to ever live. All right, so there's Virgil and Kanye. And little known story, Virgil and Kanye West were interns at Fendi before they were anything really. And so they were just humble, you know, learning. Virgil went to architecture school and he just got into fashion and became friends with Kanye. And they both were just like these, you know, geniuses, these young geniuses, and they learned from Fendi, okay? And then Virgil, you know, started growing Pyrex 23, or Pyrex was the brand name, and then he shifted into Off-White, and Off-White just blew up, you know, and all these artists and rappers started wearing it, and just became an absolute icon in the design space and a DJ. And then he was promoted to the head men's designer at Louis Vuitton, which was just incredible to see. And he led, you know, several very successful launches and seasons of fashion for men's fashion at Louis Vuitton. And there he is still with, you know, his brother for life, Kanye. But very sadly, you know, Virgil passed at just 42 years old after, you know, leaving his fingerprints on the world of fashion design forever. And the message, you know, is to create as much as you can, think bigger, do art, create, 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 and don't let anyone tell you no. So that's Virgil. And here's Ethereum. I know I said we would talk a little bit about some crypto stuff here. So here's a story of the boy who created the base layer of Web3 known as Ethereum, right? And obviously, Web3 is a very changing space. Who knows, Ethereum could crash tomorrow. So if you're watching this and you're like, oh, Ethereum's done, like, it's still extremely powerful, and the story behind it, right? So Dmitry Buterin is Vitalik's dad, and Vitalik's dad, Dmitry, is a great podcast on Spotify interviewing Dmitry Buterin. He was raised in communist Russia, so he wasn't able to get like a lot of freedoms of independence. And when he had Vitalik, he was like, you know, I'm going to raise him the opposite of that and give him a computer and get him, you know, being able to create and be free and build whatever he wants from an early age. So Vitalik, when he was, you know, I think early 20s, is when he got together with a team and built this product, a project called Ethereum. And it was, you know, completely revolutionary in this blockchain space, and gave, you know, developers the ability to build like decentralized apps. and build this network of validators around the world that you know, has just completely changed the world with digital ownership and all of that, right? And so Vitalik went on this gigantic world tour talking about Ethereum everywhere around. And you know, now I left Act Three and the message open, because we're really in the climax, I would say, right now. And the climax of this story, I think, will last many years. but you know, you've got Gavin Wood down there. You've got the CEO, the really founder of Solana, Charles Hoskinson, CEO, founder Cardano, who used to work, all these guys used to work with Vitalik at Ethereum, but now they created their own blockchains as competitors. And I think it's likely, you know, at some point, maybe we see this happen faster than not, but that these layers of the blockchain kind of become interoperable. But, you know, we're not here to talk about crypto that much, of course. But really, right now, it's kind of this very interesting story, because it's, you know, we're trying to see who's going to win, who's going to come out on top. Is it going to be Vitalik? Is it going to be Gavin Wood? It's probably not going to be Cardano, but, you know, we'll see. And Aaron Dowdy. So Aaron Dowdy has, you know, a really powerful origin story that he consistently uses in his YouTube videos, and he refers to it over and over and over again. And it's great, because you start to get to know it, and the more you hear it, it doesn't really matter. You know, you just resonate with it because you can tell it's true. And, you know, the more you hear an origin story, the more it implants more into your brain. And that's good. That's a good thing.
Many of you know my story, but 7 to 16 years old, I had the abusive ex-stepmom in my life. My dad, even though he was masculine in his work, he was very more of a pushover in relationships. And that's why he attracted a narcissistic ex-stepmom to me, but his narcissistic ex-wife that was in my life from when I was 7 years old to 16 years old. So like the psychological warfare that my brother and I dealt with my ex-stepmom was
this story. And when you bake this storytelling method into your personality, not only do you create a compelling brand in your posts and in your profile overall, but you can use this during in-person conversation as well. And so now it's time to take this format and break it down even further and build out your origin story. So here we have crafting your origin story worksheet. And so you're going to want to make a copy of this and follow along here. And it says, your origin story is extremely powerful and carries the gravity and power that you need to be able to attract high value men and women into your life. And in this worksheet, we are going to break down step by step how to craft your origin story so that you can start using it in your life immediately. And here's an overview of the 3-act structure. So there's the hook, act 1, act 2, act 3, climax there, and then of course the message. So the message. In Tribe Accelerator, we reverse engineer everything, of course. And so let's begin with the end in mind. So take your one sentence purpose from week 2 and then just type it out right here, okay, just as a review. And then open up your 7 layers of why story and your illusion neutralization worksheet. And take this information and start to pick out the most pivotal transformative points of your life and jot them down here. All right, just a little brainstorming, okay? Don't overthink this. Just, you know, go through this with me and, you know, pause it, make a few notes, and then we'll pick back up. And yeah, just try for like 5 transformative moments in your life. And then looking at this above list, which one would you say taught you the most? Which led to your central mission the most, okay? And then perhaps it was multiple, but, you know, try to pick the strongest, most high stakes and intense story. And now we're going to really just like break this down into the structure. So now take the central mission and trace it back to the beginning. Where did this all start? Where are you from? How were you raised? What was your childhood like? Okay. And act 2, how did you transition from your upbringing into the meat of the story, which then became act 2? Who were the main characters involved? What conflicts arose? What personal challenges did you face? And what obstacles were really difficult that you had to overcome? And then the climax. What was the hardest part of the entire journey? The highest point of drama? The time that you almost lost everything? And for that, you know, you can think of Harry Potter, like when Harry goes off to get killed by Voldemort and everyone thinks he's dead. That's in the last Harry Potter. Or in Romeo and Juliet, for example, the climax is when Romeo finds Juliet and he thinks that she's dead when she was really just sleeping, you know, she was on a sleeping potion. And so he kills himself. That's the climax there. Or you can think of the Titanic when the boat is literally sinking and everyone is frantically looking for safety and jumping into lifeboats. So what is your highest point of drama? And then Act 3. This is the resolution. What happens after the climax? Where are you now? What are you doing now with your life and where are you planning to go? And then pull it all together. So now write your story and just clean it up. And remember to start with a hook, okay? And the key is to simplify it. I have a pretty short version of my story, but I always keep these like major points when I share the story, and I have like a long version as well. So make sure that your message is or purpose is like somewhere at the end or at least inferred. And when you tell people the story, it should make complete sense to them, like why you are who you are today and what you do. And they should be able to really relate to some of the pain that you've been through. And the more vulnerable you are in this story, guys, the better. Because vulnerability is the mark of a leader. So let's get this story done. If you can get this done, guys, this is like really big. Because the more you're able to, you know, tell this to people, you'll see they really will connect with you and resonate with it. And you can practice telling your story to your accountability partner in this program, as we've talked about. So now let's talk about design language. So design language includes words, colors, fonts, shapes, and symbols. And these are all used in collaboration to communicate stories and messages to those interacting with your brand and you. And the most influential brands, thinkers, and influential figures essentially invent their own dictionary. So think Nelk Boys, Christianity, Apple, and the world of crypto. And colors can convey meaning. And for example, I use red in all of these PowerPoints to symbolize and get people to think of like red light therapy and also the effect that red light or blue light has on the eyes. And then think of shapes. So think of like the shape of the iPhone. We're going to give examples for all of these in a bit. And then symbols and logos and how these can convey meaning. So symbols like the Tribe Accelerator T, the Apple logo, right? The white arrows or the like of Off-White or the Ethereum symbol. And all of these help to make and house the entire neuro-branded code into one small glance. So people, you know, they see the shape, they see the silhouette, they see the colors, right, the textures used, and they immediately think of the meaning behind the brand. And understand too that design is a hack, okay? And using design is like a code to hacking human intrigue. This is really fucking key. So art, guys, art makes people think. And design initiates the Zeigarnik effect, which the Zeigarnik effect is people remember things that are unfinished better than things that are completed. So if you master design and art, and you know, you might not become a master, but if you learn a little bit about design and art, which is what I'm going to share with you, you can thoroughly imprint your image and your idea of who you are into people's mind. And that's very powerful. So language, part of design language, allows people to essentially voluntarily indoctrinate themselves into your tribe, your way of living, and your worldview. So to create your own language for your personal brand, all you have to do is invent words or consistently use unusual words. So take the Nelk Boys, for example, right? These guys are absolutely hilarious YouTubers. If you haven't watched them, I think they're hilarious. And they speak in this universal Canadian hockey lingo that the viewers pick up on, obviously. And when you hear someone talking like this, like if I'm out at like a club or, you know, I'm just out on the street and I hear someone talking like the Nelk Boys, I know that they watch Nelk and I know they're part of the tribe. You know, they're saying things like, "Hey, what's up, bud?
Fucking locked out on this house, boys. Let's check it out."
Holy shit, boys.
No shower in here?
Right there, buddy.
And then, like, when you walk into a new house or Airbnb or whatever, and it's nice, and, like, what the Nelk Boys will do is they'll go, "Ew."
So, boys.
Yeah, it's a Nelk thing. And then also having, like, funny nicknames for your friends, like Gambles or Shitty Manager Drew or, like, Shitty Starbs, like, this is a Nelk thing. And there are words and ways of speaking that are basically owned by Christianity. an entire religion, okay? By the way, guys, religions are like the most powerful brands in the world. That's why they've lasted millions of years. Because like the elements I'm teaching you, storytelling, language, colors, symbolism, like this, you see this is all baked into religions. This is why religions have gravity. So why can't you have gravity? You see, we're just going to take those elements and put them into you. So Christianity, so when you hear people using these words, you know that they are part of the Christianity tribe. So if you hear someone talking about sin or the Bible or prayer or church or holy matrimony or being baptized or what's it called? I mean, I was raised Jewish, but what is it? Your confirmation ceremony, right? Yeah. And then they use specific names to describe people that are a part of Christianity, like the priest or the pastor or the altar boy. And there are words and ways of speaking used by Apple customers so that when you hear people using these words, you know they are a part of the Apple tribe. So for example, MacBook or just iPhone, iPod, iPad, whatever, I anything. When you say, I'm not going to say this because it'll trigger it and then it'll just be annoying. Safari or Final Cut Pro or even Keynote, right? When you use these words, you know someone's a part of the Apple tribe. And there are words and ways of speaking used in the crypto world so that when you hear people using these words, you know they're a part of the crypto tribe. So you hear anyone talking about DeFi or a pump and dump or ETH or shitcoins or the moon or even using a word like just when or friends or WGMI, we're all going to make it. We're going to make it, right? These are all knowledge that people are in this crypto tribe. And this is my Instagram, right? So I use, and my brand, I use words like master vision, tribe, tribal transurfing, neurobranding. I'm making these terms up, guys. I'm just pulling them out of my ass because they're like, I'm creating them, right? All of these other people are just like making shit up. Okay, Maxi, in my Instagram bio, it says I'm an Illuminara. I just made it up. Mindset Design, I made up mindsetdesign.com. Made it up. Mr. Struggle, the luck engineer, saying I'm not dust. Like, this is all part of my language that I have created. I've just wrote this language myself. Carnivore Aurelius, another guy on Instagram. You know, he's always talking about beef liver and, like, the meat slap and ball sunning and alpacas and EMF and red light. So this is kind of part of the Carnivore Aurelius tribe. And so here's some examples of color and texture. And you know, in the top we have Tom Bilyeu. He's the founder of Impact Theory. And as you can see, he uses blue in all of his thumbnails. So when I see this same, and by the way, same font as well, as you can see, this like thumbnail kind of way he makes his thumbnails, you know it's a video from Impact Theory. You recognize it. Okay, I use red, right? So all of my like Instagram stories, I use like red text on my YouTube videos. And on this slideshows, obviously I use red. Bottom left, we have some extremely famous painters, Monet. Monet would paint in these specific textures, all right? And then that's a Jackson Pollock. Jackson Pollock would basically like get buckets of paint and like put a stick in the paint and then like slap the paint on the canvas. So you recognize through this texture and through really the color combinations as well that these are unmistakably by these two artists. And my friend Sage Willows, sage.willows on Instagram, he's a master of this. He has this very interesting like circle pattern theme as like the base of his signature in all his art. So, you know, he's very young, you know, I think he's only like 22 years old at this point now. And he's got like art collectors all over the world. And, you know, Nobu buys from him, the founder of Nobu. It's partially because he's like crafted this very unique signature around his work. And so it's very cool to see. And he's a good guy to follow because he's different and he's very, very intelligent in his branding. And shape. So here's some examples from powerful brands. So you know that Yeezys, there on the bottom, you like if you just saw a silhouette of a Yeezy, you know it's a Yeezy. So Kanye used shape to, is genius. I mean, he used the shape of the shoe to make you know it's a Yeezy shoe. Right, and then take like Balenciaga t-shirts even. When you see the shape of a t-shirt, that like a Balenciaga t-shirt, you can tell it's Balenciaga. Very few other t-shirts are shaped like a Balenciaga t-shirt. You can just tell. And then with the iPhone, like the iPhone has this like black thing at the top, and that's part of the signature of the iPhone. Like, you know, when someone has that little black like rectangle at the top, that that's where like the camera is, and then the thing, the microphone for the ear, and you just know it's an iPhone. And so shape obviously doesn't really apply to humans or you, but it could. It could. And of course, by the way, this, if you couldn't tell, like this presentation, you can use this to apply to like any clothing brand or business that you run. Like, you can apply this to literally anything you're trying to build gravity around, but we're obviously focusing on you and your brand. So we're going to talk about like shape as in like your body shape. So that picture in the top left, that's my friend Brett on the left. And my friend Jordan and my friend Cassin. And I thought it was funny because they kind of exemplify the three body shapes. You've got Brett, who's like ripped. That's actually him below there. The ripped guy, that's my friend Brett. And then the dad bod in the middle. So Jordan has a bit of a dad bod. That's Leo DiCaprio right below Jordan. And then Machine Gun Kelly is kind of like the skinny guy. So Cassin is like this sort of skinny guy. Anyway, so you can kind of pick your, you know, your body shape and what you want to be and how you want to be branded in that sense. And then there's also like your fashion sense. So we'll talk about that in a bit. It's actually very easy to figure out what your fashion should be. Mine is, you can see, I pretty much am pretty basic. I just wear either like an all same color sweatsuit, probably branded from my own brand, or like a black t-shirt and shorts, or black t-shirt and skinny jeans, or a white t-shirt and skinnier jeans with some nice shoes. Like my go-to pair of shoes is like a black Saint Laurent shoe. Or, you know, if I'm wearing the sweats, it's usually like a Yeezy 500 boot or something like that. And yeah, it's pretty basic. But I'll go into style in a bit. Now let's talk about using a consistent font collection. So Off-White is really most famous for this. You know, they just use Helvetica and they just like put everything in quotes. You know, very, very recognizable. You know when you see this, that it is Off-White. So I use Helvetica New, and I also use Courier New in my Instagram stories. Below at the bottom here, I mentioned my friend Justin, who uses this font over and over again. There's only a select amount of fonts available on Instagram, but it's worth just noting that when you are starting to make Instagram stories, that you should just be using the same font, you know, repeatedly, and it makes people like realize they are watching your story and associate that font with you. And powerful creators and sounds. So I'll give you some examples from, you know, my intro videos over the years and how I've used sounds to make people know they're watching one of my videos. You know, you've got Drake. When you hear Drake, when you hear a beat, right, and then you hear Drake go, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, brothers, but my brothers, man, you niggas ain't no kidding.
Like, you just know it's a Drake song. Same with Kanye. Like, he comes on, and he's like, huh, right, like that, huh, like that's a signature using sound. My friend King's here in the bottom right. Yeah, he has a YouTube channel. He's really rebranding himself right now to be more in like real estate content. But back in the day, you know, his channel would like, he would say like,
hey man, world to game, man. What's up, man? Today I got a special video.
And it would say the same thing over and over and over again, just indoctrinating people into his brand. And if you think of like the genre of music that people use in their videos or Instagram stories, that's also part of using sound to associate with your brand. And so, you know, my friend Justin, who I mentioned in the previous story, he texted me, was like, hey, can you like curate a playlist for me? And I was like, sure. And I just filled it with like a bunch of music I like. And he goes, haha, I love it. Arlen vlog music. So like, obviously I have a certain taste in music, and that can like, people can like hear that kind of music, and it's not your music particularly, but people will associate you with a certain, you know, genre particularly. I tend to lean toward like in my videos using like hip hop or rap or some kind of like tropical house kind of sounding music. And so all of this consistency culminates to powerful signaling straight into the hearts and minds of the people who come into contact with these brands. And that's why we call it neurobranding. And so let's complete the design language worksheet. This is, again, not a, there's four worksheets. I know you guys see that, but this stuff isn't super difficult. So don't worry too much about this. This is the design language worksheet. You can make a copy, obviously making sure you're keeping all this stuff nice and organized. And remember, guys, design is a hack. Developing a powerful design language will separate you as alpha, a creator, a lion, and not a sheep. And people will gravitate you the more that you develop your own language because they recognize you as the cause, not an effect. And in this worksheet, we are going to craft your unique, inhomogeneous design language. That's really important, guys. Like, I really want you to be as unique as possible here. I don't want everyone just coming out copying me or copying Justin or Off-White. Just be as unique as possible and really take some time to like think about you and why you would want to build out your brand this way and what it really means. And so start by rewriting your driving mission here. You know, we really want to solidify that within you. And your words. What words do you use? Okay. What words are native to your upbringing that you always use as a kid, or maybe like your area of the world that not a lot of other people know? Because remember, in the metaverse, you know, you're going to have people that could potentially you could be friends with from all over. So your words don't necessarily have to be like your words, but like words from where you grew up that make you sound unique, right? And are any of these words, words that you've personally made up that you resonate with, that you've made up, any of them particularly resonate with your mission? And just think about that, all right? And just make a list here of, you know, all of your words, right? And here, so colors. Simply put, what are your favorite colors? And on Google, you can just look up, you can search, like, Then search Google, what colors go well with, and then you insert your color there. And choose a secondary color and then a tertiary color if you like it. Okay. Very, very easy, guys. So you can just do what colors go good with red. Red, navy, and white. Red and turquoise. Red and green. And you can just, you know, look at this and figure out, like that's kind of cool, right? Or that. And you just sort of pick those numbers. And that's the code for your... that's the color code for your actual color. So you'll want to type that out right here. And then maybe it's like 8T00543 or something like that. So you want to write your three colors here, right? 2, 3. And then what you want to do is you want to think, like, why are you using these colors? Like, I'm very clear that I use red, particularly because red, like, you know, it makes me think of red light therapy. It makes me think of, like, this whole wellness lifestyle in general. And so that's why I've chosen red for myself. But why would you choose those colors? It doesn't have to be, like, super clear, but maybe you just like them. But just consider that. And then for fonts. So open up the Instagram app and click the plus sign in the top right, and you're going to be able to create an Instagram story there. Just snap any photo and then click the text icon, and there's going to be like about 10 fonts you can choose from. So just pick one of those that you want to go with, and then these fonts should have something to do with like your vibe in general and your mission that you are really cultivating here. And you should be able to like pick that font, whatever it is, and you might not know the name of the font via Instagram, but just like pick, just name the font, whatever you want to name it, and then say like, why are you using that font? Like, for example, I use the Courier New style because I think it just resonates with like being smart and like, you know, especially with like the maxi and the personal development side of things, and just it resonates with like computers and technology and just like intelligence. So that's partially why I like it. So sounds. What types of sounds resonate with your brand? What genre of music? And you can end up using this music in the background of videos you create. Now, one thing I want to be pretty clear with here is like, you know, you can really build your brand out however you want. But understand that, you know, when you're like really expressing yourself, if there's a certain group of people that you want to attract, specifically with the sound stuff, you know, Like, if there's a specific girl that you want to go on a date with, she might not like your kind of weird music tastes. So it's not like you have to go around parading it, all this stuff everywhere. But that's a topic for another video. We'll continue on here. So ancillary things. So any specific shapes that resonate with you, textures, vibes in general, just write stream of consciousness how you want your brand to be presented and refer to examples or brands of people who have personal brands that you really like. So you can just kind of make a list here and think about too, like what brands are you really inspired by and what do you notice about these brands in relation to what you've learned in this module? All right. Chugging along. So how routines become pendulums. So routines can help to create a rhythm in people's lives with a set agenda of emotions and thus establish positive emotions with that brand name every time the people who follow that brand do the routine or even think about doing it. And it's basically just doing the same thing that you enjoy over and over and over again and sharing it with the world. So within Christianity, I mean, religions are the king of routines, right? You have church every Sunday. And when you go to church, you have the routine of like seeing people that you care about and also feeling good about like convening with God. With NFTs, you know, NFTs really are a brand. You know, they are a pendulum. They are a thing that is swinging back and forth, picking up more and more people as it passes by. And NFTs, you know, when you mint an NFT and then launch it and put it up for resale on OpenSea, like that's a whole routine, a whole process that people are going through, right? With the Arlen Moore brand, you have juving, you have just like grinding on your business, reading, working out, spontaneous trips to, you know, wherever the hell I feel like it really, right? Carnivore Aurelius has the routines of like eating butter, like literally eating a slab of butter, steak, liver, sunning his balls, you know, funny and just like making funny lists. And then gatherings. So we're going to talk about this next week, but building a recurring dinner or party of some sorts will really, you know, help establish a pendulum and get people, you know, indoctrinated into your circle. And so here's, you know, in the top left, we have Apple. So one routine that Apple institutes is like the routine of the keynote presentation. Okay. We also have Amazon Prime. So it's just the whole experience of the Amazon Prime, you know, shopping experience where it's like you're searching for your item, one click buy, and it's there like within a day. That's a routine. The bottom right here, we have Clear. So this is like kind of TSA pre-check on steroids where you go, you like scan your eyes. If you don't have this, by the way, I highly recommend it. I got it like a little while ago and I love it. You know, you go, you like scan your face and then they like escort you past the TSA pre-check people. It's pretty cool. And you just treated like royalty for a good minute and a half. On the left, bottom left there, you've got people reading the Torah at the Great Wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem. And, you know, reading the Torah is like a part of the Jewish tradition. It's a routine, right? And then, of course, in the middle, we have the four-year university cult scam where you attend class, get a liberal arts education, party, and then throw your hats off at the end. So, you know, you start at freshman orientation. You do something stupid with these stupid games and signs with, you know, random people. And then in the middle, you know, you go to class and then party on the weekends and do weird shit and throw Christmas parties and everyone takes their clothes off and has drunken sex and, you know, then gets up hangover and goes to class and does homework you don't want to do. And then at the end of it all, you throw your hats off and that's it. And then you have a bunch of debt and that's the routine. And people sell that for a lot of money. And you probably are still in debt from that if you did this. But that's a very, very, very powerful routine and a really big moneymaker. Yeah. So Carnivore Aurelius, you know, he's got his daily meat slab, his daily meat slap or ball sunning. Soul Bra. Okay. So he's another guy you could check out. He, every time like people see a tree, he has these things called mandatory pull-ups. So like every time you see a tree branch, you have to do pull-ups. And then you tag Soulbra and he'll repost you. And then Andy Frisella, this is a very famous challenge, the 75 hard challenge where you work out twice a day, you follow a certain diet, you drink a gallon of water every day, and you read I think you read 10 pages of a book or something like that, and take a progress picture every day. So yeah, so these are some examples of creators using routines on their profiles and indoctrinating people into their way of thinking. So let's complete the routines worksheet. This one is one of the quickest ones, I believe. Yeah, just three questions. So make a copy of this, keep it organized, and building a consistent routine for your content will help people anticipate what you put out. It'll make them think about you more often and make them miss you when you're gone. And in this worksheet, we're just going to develop just very briefly, you know, some routines here. So start by rewriting your driving mission here, as we have been doing in these last three, getting it here. And then think about this. So can you think of any powerful routines that you personally have been subject to? Okay, perhaps you were raised in some religious routines, the school system. And how does it feel to know you've been raised by someone else's routine that weren't your own? Think about that. All right, just do a little brainstorming session here. And then routines. What routines are important and unique to you? And what do you think everyone in the world should be doing that you personally do? And what routines from other groups do you think should be more popularized? So don't overthink it. But, you know, could it be as simple as just going to the gym. So what routines are important to you? And just list out a bunch of those, and those will be your routines. So let's talk about your identity as a leader. This one's going to be super short, but because we've talked about it in great length last week. But understand, you know, people are going to look at you and study you as a leader. And so you want to think, like, when people talk about you, what are the first words you want them to say about you? What are your main character traits? Right? And also, what are the quirks and things that make you different or even unique or weird? You know, you look at Polo G in the top left here, right? The first thing I think about when I look at Polo G is like, this one actually kind of is the bar I think of from Popstar, Rockstar. He's like Young Pac, Rebirth, never put out a weak verse. But he's like, I never put out a weak verse. All right, so when I think of Polo G, I think of like never putting out a weak verse. So I expect, like, knowing him as a leader, to always put time into his lyrics, right? Gary Vee in the top right there, you know, he is known for going on yard sales, right? And just like flipping stuff at yard sales and saying like, that's the best way to make money if you don't have a job, is just going, like, learning how to flip on eBay and yard sales and stuff. Weird guy in the bottom left, that's me in front of my Juve, right? You know, I'm obsessed with my Juve thing. And I just use that. And that's like kind of a quirk that I have. But you also, you know, you think of Arlen, you think of like being motivated, this, you know, self-development, working on your mind, purpose, you know, having fun in the process, being spontaneous. And then on the bottom right, you've got Yomi Denzel, who I really like following his brand because he's French and I don't understand anything he's saying. Yet he's always very positive and always in some dope location, and he's always giving people gifts. And I just like to, like, learn from him, even though I don't know what he's saying. I just like, I can catch his vibe and see how he's, like, respected as a leader. And there's no worksheet for that one because, you know, we did so many last week. You don't need to. And this last part of this video, we're going to talk about polarizing the enemy. So if you want everyone to like you, nobody will fucking love you. So you need to pick a side. Pick a fucking side. And this comes with making firm decisions about your beliefs and then continuously educating yourself and making adjustments as you grow. So if you want people to love you, then some people might hate you. And you have to be okay with that. For example, when I first started making videos on YouTube and posting content as like a creator instead of just a normal consumer, I had some people make fun of me, okay? And I had to be okay with it. You know, I had a bunch of girls from, I was doing it in college, I had a bunch of girls from back in high school who just like made a group chat and were like shit posting about me and like making fun of me. And I found out about it and I was like a little hurt by it at first. And you know, over the years, I've had people make fun of me in the comments section, but like, I don't give a fuck. Right? You got to develop thick skin about that and just realize, like, who are you trying to impress? Are you trying to impress shitty people who don't like you in the first place? What's the point of that? That's stupid. So just go out there and be a creator, right? and polarizing the enemy shows that you aren't afraid to fight what you don't believe in. My friend Justin is extremely outwardly spoken. He's a good example of this. He's extremely outwardly spoken about his views to the point where literally any day I think he might be banned from Instagram if he's not already at the time this video is posted. So he might be a good guy to follow and check out again if he's not already banned. And demonstrating a lack of fear is powerfully attractive, okay? And when shit hits the fan, if you're someone who's been actively calling people out, people will flock to you, you know? People will flock to the people who aren't afraid. And my friend Fran is also another guy who's really outspoken. If you see in like his highlights here, he has these different things called hysteria. He talks about the dollar and his opinions on the dollar. He has a whole thing about propaganda, and he only has 1,600 followers, but you know, he's always talking about like what he believes in on his stories. And that's why I bring him up and why I really like his brand, because he's a free thinker and he's not afraid to talk about what he believes in, no matter how controversial it is. You know, we really want to get away from groupthink here. Independent thinkers. So here's the famous polarizing the enemy commercial of Apple. You know, when you remember when it was like, hi, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. It's literally the same thing that I do, guys, with, hi, I'm Mr. Struggle and I'm the luck engineer. And obviously Mr. Struggle is the PC, and the PC sucks and like is just like fat, is an annoying attitude and can't get anything done. Whereas the luck engineer is just relaxed and chill and, you know, obviously cooler and better in every way. And Carnivore Aurelius is also always calling out a specific group of people, and they're vegans. And it's really hilarious the way he does it. You know, the memes that he posts, and it's funny. So complete the polarizing the enemy worksheet. This one, again, is pretty quick. So if you want everyone to like you, no one will love you. Pick a side. Call out who's screwing up the world. Take a stand. And this comes with making firm decisions about the beliefs that you have, but then also continually educating yourself and making adjustments as you grow. So firm beliefs, loosely held. And in this worksheet, we're going to polarize your enemy and crystallize your viewpoints about the world. So start by writing your mission statement here. And then think about the enemy. So who do you hate? Who makes your blood boil? And what's wrong with them? And why are they wrong? And why are they making the world a shitty place? What is their biggest blind spot, and why don't they get it? Right, just list out there. And then satirize them, right? Make a joke out of them. So how can you kind of make fun of them? And what memes can you use to throw stones at your enemies that can make them look silly? Okay, and don't overthink this. Just, you know, however you can make them look kind of funny, just write out here. And then the hero. So who gets it? Right? For me, it's the luck engineer, right? And I use like, I think ASAP Rocky is just fucking smooth. So I use ASAP Rocky as like the symbol for the luck engineer. And what are the character traits of the guy who gets it? And why are they obviously right? And then you want to meme the hero. So what memes can you use in order to over embellish how amazing the good guy is and how obviously correct your view of the world is? So this is really what I did with Mr. Struggle and the luck engineer. And I want you to do the same thing with your beliefs. All right. So that's it, guys. That's it for this module. You can go ahead and just complete the storytelling worksheet, the design language worksheet, and the routines and pendulums worksheet, and then the polarizing the enemy worksheet. And that is it for 1.3. For 3.1. And you are well on your way to crafting an incredibly powerful brand. Now I'd like to do a little bit of bonus profile commentary, talking about a lot of the stuff and a little bit more that we just went over, and just showing you some like real applications. So, you know, my friend Justin, you know, again, as I said, his account might be taken down by now, but he does a really good job of making his life just look fucking epic, you know. And if you look at his pictures and what he's doing in the pictures, like it's not just him standing around with his friends. It's him actually doing shit. So like, you know, he's got a mirror selfie, but like it's a mirror selfie with like a super hot chick and like they're in his bedroom, you know? Or it's a pic of him with like some babe on his shoulder, or it's a picture of him like loading a mag for a gun, or like a bunch of girls going swimming and there's like a lightning bolt, right? And by the way, that picture of the girls going swimming in the lightning bolt, I think that's just straight off of Pinterest. So not even like the 9 out of 10, like not even the every nine of all nine of your photos this week have to be your photos. You can pick a picture off Pinterest that you really like, that resonates with you. And as long as it sort of almost feels like it matches your the color scheme that you're using and, you know, the kind of vibe. That's I know we were talking about colors earlier. I want you to notice that all of these photos like sort of blend together in a certain way, you know, and even Justin's style, right? Like he's obviously in good shape. He's obviously not the dad bod, but he also has like, you know, just clean cut t-shirts. And yeah, you know, he seems to be by the ocean a lot. So, you know, think about all these things. And Yomi, right? So Yomi's got kind of the self-fulfilling profile idea that we talked about in week one, where like you look at your profile and you want to see the person that you want to become. You want to see a person that inspires you, not, you know, old you from high school or old you from college. Like you want to see the person that you want to look up to. And, you know, Yomi also has like a specific style. So I'll say one thing on style and like what you should wear. Look at someone who has the social circle and the life that you want and see how they're dressing and then just basically copy them. You know, we don't have to self-express too much because oftentimes, you know, what you wear is like a massive indicator of like who you are and what you believe in. And if you dress like how you feel you want to dress and how you feel is comfortable, it's not necessarily effective. You know, so just don't try to be like a fashion icon. Just look at who has kind of won the game that you want to play and model what you want to wear after them. If you fail to do that, you know, it's going to be really hard to get the results that you want. And think of vibe, all right? This is something we're going to dive into a little bit more as we go on. It's a bit more of a advanced topic, but Elliot has a great vibe. Elliot B-Fit, you know, he lowers the exposure of all his photos, so they're slightly a little bit darker. You know, he uses, as you can tell too, he's really good with color. So everything is either black, white, tan. His skin is a bit tan. And then there's a little bit of like teal, like a little bit, like if you see in the top right, there's like his jacket is kind of teal. So teal and orange go really well together. He'll even darken like the greens. And, you know, this is all not like super important, but it's a bit more advanced photo editing stuff, which we can talk about a little bit in later modules, but don't get too overwhelmed for now. And then Riley is just another example of a self-fulfilling profile. Raptor's got a great vibe, right? And Raptor's vibe is, again, communicated through the colors he uses. You know, he's obviously an artist, so he makes everything look very clean. You'll notice, like, everything Raptor does is smooth and clean and crisp, right? And so he'll throw in some artwork here and there, some, like, black and white, like, landscape stuff, you know, more artistic kind of feel. You know, he gives himself a little more freedom to be that, like, smooth. It's almost like his pictures and his photos line up with his music, which is cool. Iman's a great example of a guy who has a very, very powerful origin story. And he'll say it probably like once a month or so. You know, he'll reference it in like an Instagram story or maybe a YouTube video here and there. Where he'll talk about, you know, the stuff he went through as a kid, how his dad was like abusive to him and his mom. And then he dropped out of high school at 15 to basically like build his business. Or it was like 15 or 16, I don't know. At the time, he was like meditating in the bathroom in high school and kids were making fun of him. But he ended up, you know, started to make like pretty significant money and then started, you know, building his businesses that he has today that are doing like, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a month. And now he like takes care of his mom and lives in Dubai. And you know, so the origin story is very, very powerful. Carnivore Aurelius. So he's a good example of polarizing the enemy, as I talked about before. And then again, Soul Bra, good example of establishing routines. Real Soul Bra on Instagram. And then Adam. So my friend Adam, he's a really good example of the Zeigarnik effect, which is really that mystery, right? Like when you look at Adam's profile, you don't know what he does. If when you find out what he does, it's pretty fascinating. You know, he was really a very early like internet kid, and he was like massive in the affiliate marketing space, like very early on, and was really like one of the best in the world at it. Now he's working on some NFT projects, but you know, you don't have to tell like every single story about you, and that leaves mystery, right? And we're going to talk about that in the next module. So again, here's your action steps. I want you to really, you know, define your story, get clear on your design language, your routines and pendulums, and polarizing the enemy. And I will leave you with this quote: design is hack. This is from Murat Pak, who did a NFT drop that did $92 million in sales. It was the biggest NFT drop ever. And this is his pinned quote on Twitter: design is hack. So I'll leave you with that. Go ahead and get these worksheets done, and then let's dive into the following videos in this week. All right. Good job today. I'll see you in the next video. Instagram engineering is actually just 1 week inside the full 7-week Tribe Accelerator program, which covers everything from how to plan amazing trips to how to actually be charismatic in person to building long-term relationships. Tribe Accelerator also includes bi-weekly coaching calls, so you can get expert feedback on your Instagram and events that you're planning, as well as a community of 6, 7, 8, even 9-figure entrepreneurs who are all building and living cool lives filled with cool events and world travel. But I digress. Instagram engineering. I've put years of work into the creation of this, and now I'm giving it to you for free. And all I ask in return is that you complete these 7 action steps. So action step number 1 is that you complete the Unfuck Your Instagram guide and archive all of your bad photos. Any photo that isn't a 10 out of 10 photo, you should take it down. Action step number 2, I want you to go through Instagram engineering and learn how to get amazing photos. Build an amazing brand behind the photos that you're choosing, and then go out there and actually take massive action to get amazing content. Once you get new content, I want you to start posting in this community for feedback in this Instagram engineering community. After you've done all this, I want you to share Instagram engineering, just a video of your new content or the course, with your friends. Share this program with your friends. However you're consuming Instagram engineering, whether that's as a podcast on Spotify, because it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, whether you're here just in the school community, share that you're watching and consuming this and getting value from it on your Instagram story or in any other method you care to, and tag me at Arlen for a repost. Then I want you to go out there and test out your new Instagram. DM higher value people, DM girls that you find attractive, and see if you can get a date with your new Instagram. And lastly, action step number 7, go check out Tribe Accelerator. There should be links in or around this video where you can go and see what all is inside. And if you think you'd be a good fit of the tribe, I'd love to see you in there as well.